This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, Peter. Trying to stay topical. This came to me while I was trying to get Marco back to sleep at like 6 in the morning. Movie put on, Daddy. Movie put on. I did not want to put a movie on at 6 in the morning.
No, of course you didn't. 6 a.m. for God's sake.
I did put a movie on for myself, and it was Revenge of the Nerds, just happened to be on. So I watched like 20 minutes of that, but I was not going to put like Moana on at 6 in the morning. I wanted to get him to bed. But I figured, how about this? And take politics out of it, Peter. All right? For like inappropriate names like we talked about with the Indians and all that. Top 5 lamest sports names in the 4 major sports. Like when you really break it down and think about it, it's like that's... this isn't a good name for a team. There's a lot of them. It was tough to narrow it down to 5.
Lamest.
Yeah, just like, come on. What are you doing with that? Because there was a time where they didn't care about like coming up with cool names.
Oh, this is so subjective, though. I mean,
it is, but I'm going to explain myself for each one. And I will convince you. With each and every one. I've got the top 5 and the 3 also-rans, too.
Well, I'm going to throw a few at you, and then I'm guessing I'll kind of just... you might have to just go through this one. I don't know if it'll be easy.
No. You can do it. If you really think about it.
The Minnesota Wild.
No, I was talking with RJ about it. I think it's kind of cool for like Minnesota, and they've made like a really cool logo out of the Wild. I don't think it's lame at all, but it's subjective, but certainly not a top 5. I could see maybe being on a list, but...
again, a wholeheartedly subjective answer.
Okay, but again, when you hear my 5, then remember the Wild and see if you put it there.
Okay.
Are you drinking beer or your own urine? I'm curious about
it. It's my own urine.
All right, good. Because you know what? It's sterile, and it tastes good.
Yeah, it's diet ginger ale.
the quote is... it's sterile, and I like the taste. What movie?
I don't know.
I drink my own urine. It's stale, and I like the taste.
I don't remember.
I'll give you the name of the actor.
How many lists do I have to do inside this list?
I don't care. Lists come up with sublists all the time, and sometimes goes into trivia.
Okay, go ahead, but I'm trying to think really hard about this actual list.
I don't know. It was It was from Dodgeball.
Oh, yes. I do remember that. During the training?
Yes.
By the way, this may come as a major surprise, and I actually believe that in the era we live in, this is a movie that probably wouldn't get made. I know you won't believe this. I saw Nacho Libre for the first time this weekend.
Really?
Had never seen it.
I find it funny.
I thought it was tremendous.
Did you laugh out loud with the Encarnacion song?
It was more just like waiting for the part now, you know?
Right.
You know, but it was... there was a lot of parts that made me laugh, though. I mean, yeah, it's really, really funny. I don't know that it would get made now, and I'd lean towards it probably wouldn't.
Right.
But damn it was funny. Okay. Give me a sport. Is there one sport that's in
more than
others?
I'm going to tell you the sports. All 4 sports are represented.
All 4 sports are represented.
Yes.
Let's see. And by the way, I mean, I just want to say the name of the Metropolitans would have been horrifying. Mets works. They made it work.
Right, but it's not. It's okay.
It's not great.
It's not top 5 worthy. But yeah.
No. But they've made it work.
Yes.
Let's see. RJ, is there something jumping out to you that I'm just like sitting here looking right past that's like you know is terrible? RJ just told me to think colors.
Yeah. That'll help.
Well, it's not the Blue Jays. It's not a college sports because, you know, you'd have the orange, which is what Syracuse is doing is horrifying. It's just a big orange basketball. It doesn't make any sense.
But you're really on it, man. Think along those lines. Like, what is the most, you know, lamest color even? Like, it's not great. You wouldn't mind wearing it, but it's not exactly a color that...
Yellow?
Actually makes you think of something else, really, and that's not something you want attributed to a sports team.
Oh, Browns. Oh, the Cleveland Browns. Got
it. Number one. Now, it was named after Paul Brown, so you kind of get the idea where you're going here, but really, is that... You can't do anything with the logo. There's no logo, right? And who wants to be Brown? It's like it's Quentin Tarantino and Reservoir Dogs. Brown makes you think of something else, and that's exactly what the Browns have been for the last 50 years. The Browns, number one.
And by the way, then the weirdest part is that their helmet's not brown. It's orange.
Yeah, it's a complete mess. Because really, who wants to be brown?
It's not usually a uniform color that people run out to grab.
And then Paul Brown goes over and he starts running the Cincinnati Bengals. So, like, you know, man, it's lame. It's number one. Brown fans want to argue with me, but seriously. I'm not asking you to change it because it's part of your tradition, but really. Really.
I'm really struggling with this.
Right, that's the only football team, so now you're down to the other three. There's two basketball, a hockey, and a baseball.
Let's think about basketball for a second, shall we?
Right. There's one that's obvious and one that's just eh.
Oh, how about the Nets?
The Nets are number five, and here's the thing. All right, there's nets in basketball, but why not the rims? Why not the backboard? I mean, I understand, and the reason they went with nets is because they were trying to spin off of Jets and Mets.
I think you go Brooklyn backboards. I like how that sounds.
But nets, it's like you really can't make a logo out of it, right? It's like a piece of equipment. That's not a name of a team. Now you've gotten used to it, and I'm not asking again to change it, but...
It's pretty bad.
It's not great.
How about the Wizards?
Well, Wizards is fine.
Not really.
You may not like it, but it's, you know, I guess it's better than Bullets. That was probably inappropriate. But Wizards, it's, you know, a wizard. You're a wizard on the basketball court, right? That's been said.
I mean, it's something. It's just lame.
Yeah.
It exists. There's another basketball?
There's another basketball, and it's...
How about the Knicks?
No, it's Knickerbockers. I get there's a history there with New York. I mean, it's not, you know, it's...
I don't know what a Knickerbocker is right now.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head either, but I just know it has something to do with the history of New York.
That sounds great.
Yeah, not great, but, you know, but not in the top five, no.
So what's the other basketball one? It's not a team.
When I say it, you'll kick yourself because it's an awful name.
It's not a Celtic.
It's not something you'd want to be. Doesn't make you think basketball.
It's not a Warrior. It's not a Raptor.
No, those are great.
It's not a Grizzly. I like the Jazz. I think the Jazz is tremendous.
Even though it doesn't work in Utah, it's still a cool name.
It was a great idea from New Orleans, though. It made sense.
Lakers doesn't work in LA.
How about the Heat?
You're putting the Heat on the team. It's fine.
You're finding a way to make it work there.
Yeah. Miami Heat, you know, I think that works.
A 76er, okay.
You get the Bicentennial, you know.
Yeah, they'll probably have to change it soon. But, yeah, no, it works.
God hates me.
Right. The Bulls are good.
Bulls good.
The Pistons, weird, but
good.
It's fine.
Detroit makes sense.
Sure.
I really admire that you're not just going down, like, standings, that you're trying to do this off the top of your head.
Late, you know, I'm not. Michael would be reading them, and that would make it very easy. A Clipper, I don't really know what that is, but I'm fine with it. Lakers are cool.
Like a ship. Clippers.
It is? Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Because they were in San Diego. That made a little bit more sense. But
The Kings are fine. The Blazers are tremendous. You're a big fan.
Yeah, Trailblazers.
How about a Pelican?
A Pelican is number two, Peter, really. They got the name because the brown pelican is the state bird of Louisiana. But who wants to be a pelican? You ever see a picture of a pelican?
They're a pug animal.
Yeah, so I understand you want to honor the state of Louisiana, but you got to come up with something better than that. So I've got Browns 1, Pelicans 2,
okay.
Nets 5. So we got a baseball and a hockey team.
A baseball? Let's focus on the baseball.
Okay.
All right. I don't think anyone has a problem with a Ray or a Diamondback.
Right.
Or what about a Marlin?
Listen, it's a big fish.
Okay. That just sounds like you're giving it a pass for no reason. But that's fine. I'm okay with it.
But really, and, you know, think historical, but really when you break it down, is that really what you want to be?
A Philly, an Oriole, a Yankee, a Met. You're fine with that. A Red Sox. I mean, I don't – whatever. A White
Red Sox and White Sox were considered. I think the fact that it's the X instead of the S-O-C-K
it helps.
Kind of gives it a little bit of a cool edge to it. But, you know, not top five material by any stretch.
Twins.
It's
it doesn't
twin
really
cities.
Make sense.
Not,
twin cities. No, it's fine. The Twins. Yeah. They're Twin Cities. A Cub is cute. No one has a problem with that.
Well, I do. I got it at number four. Who wants to be a Cub? You want to be cute? You're naming a sports team, and it's a baby bear. It's a Cub.
This is the part Michael walks right out.
They've won one championship in over 110 years. So don't tell me it's really working. It's Cub. You talk about lame. You want to be a bear.
No.
Why would you want to be a Cub?
No.
It's named after when the team didn't have a name, they had a bunch of young players on the team, so they were nicknamed the Chicago Cubs, young players, and it officially came their name.
RJ, did you co-sign this? Did you agree with it?
No, I'm actually okay with the Cub.
Yeah, I'm shocked at this take. I think it's one of the worst things you've ever done on the show.
If you were going to start a sports team now, you would say, you know what would be a really cool name? The Cubs.
I'm fine with it.
I don't want to be the bear. I want to be the baby bear.
I don't think it's crazy. When I was going over the list with Don before the show or before the segment, the Suns. I don't want to be multiple Suns. I know they're very powerful. Like if I had to fight a mascot, I wouldn't want to fight multiple Suns. But I don't want to be multiple Suns either.
You're not getting this. Number three. I went with the Anaheim Ducks. They used to be the Mighty Ducks, but again, who wants to be a duck?
Well, that was stupid too.
Logo
that was named after a movie.
The Mighty Ducks was embarrassing because Disney owned the team. They named it after the movie, and then they went and they won the championship. When they did, it changed it over to Ducks, which kind of works better than Mighty Ducks. But really, who wants to be a duck?
Mighty Ducks was horrifying because it was based on the movie. I believe Twitter will agree at Rosenberg Radio at Don LaGreca that Cubs was an embarrassment. It's a disgrace.
I don't know if it's an embarrassment. I was able to break down because you're looking at the history. Like the Cubs have existed forever. You even said, Cubs cute. So you want your nickname to be cute?
Sure. It's important to sell little Cubs.
No.
That's important. Tell me the – and here's why you're going to be proven wrong. Because you're going to give me your also-rans, and one of those will be worse than the Cubs instantly. Go ahead.
All right. Nets, Cubs, Ducks, Pelicans, and Browns in – 5-1. I thought about the Padres, but
it works.
You know, Packers is not, you know, a great name, but there's history, and I guess they were the Meat Packers, and they became the Packers.
It's so. An interesting name.
Penguins, but I love what they've done with the logo.
The Penguins is Don. This is the list is getting worse by the moment.
They didn't
it started
make
out
list.
Great. Thank
but
God.
Again, it's like a little waddling thing on ice. It's not exactly anything to be.
Yeah,
feared.
But the logo's amazing.
But
the
I
nickname.
Made it work. It's not on the list.
Let's go, Pens is
on?
A great thing. I think Browns, you know, the
Browns
ones who made the ones who made the list, except for the Cubs, deserve to be there. And the Jazz in Utah is weird. I mean, I do not associate with Jazz with Utah.
But it's a cool name.
But it is a cool name. Well, you're right. I was very engaged on that list.
All right. It's trying to be topical, trying to have some fun. And, of course, you can't have a good list without a little controversy. You don't want to sit there and always agree.
Cubs. Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Today, two opponents enter.
I hate Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Only one makes it out.
Let's go with Don!
Who will win this daily competition where the standings don't matter?
What?
We find out.
Okay.
In the latest edition of Last One Standing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a special Last One Standing. Michael K. off for the week, so we have celebrity guests, friends of the show, friends of the station, our co-workers to join us. And today, we bring in a man who you can hear bright and early every single day right here on 98.7. And he's also famous for his hot take tweets and horrifying movie taste. And that would be Gordon Damé.
Gordon Damé. And when those friends of the show canceled, you get Gordon at the last second. Yes, I'm here.
You were there was a short.
Now wait a second. I have a bone to pick with Peter, because what possible horrible movie picks did? What horrible opinions? I'm not saying I don't have horrible opinions, but which one of my horrible opinions would you have even seen?
The one that got my attention at first was The Irishman.
Right, which I think I feel 100%. I'll die on that hell, friend.
Yeah, and you're dying. You're going to be laying, and there will be other people on that hill with you.
Oh, it'll be crowded.
And you deserve each other.
We will not be able to social distance.
But Don, wasn't there another one you recently brought up too?
So I think that's a horrible opinion by you. You're so strong that I have horrible opinions. You can't even come up with two examples.
There's very good possibility that Peter doesn't even follow you. So
I know that for a fact. That's why I'm offended that he thinks I have horrible opinions.
I think I follow.
As long as you have the facts, I don't have.
I have known Gordon literally since 1993. But he will always do something.
I do follow you, jerk. By the way,
I'm sure I'm muted, Don. I'm just. I wasn't engaged with anyone. There's no way.
I was engaged with no one involving the radio station the entire weekend except Gordon, because we were both like just in love with this top 700 songs of the 70s on Sirius XM 70s on 7, and we were kind of texting back and forth, and they had, I thought, a decent top 10. And more than the feeling from Boston, like you had a complete like issue with, which is like one of my favorite songs.
That's a generic rock song that has no connection to anybody.
But Peter, what
if
do you think?
If you told
number
me more
one?
Than a feeling was in the 150s, I would have said, yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, Layla at 109 was ridiculous, but we digress.
Outrageous.
But Peter, what do you think number one is?
That
is a classic song. You may not like it, but it is a classic song and deserves to be in the top 10. But Peter, what do you think the number one song was?
Number one song of the 70s?
Matter of fact, it was the same band, number 10 and number 1.
Wow. I would think Stairway?
Stairway was not. And the reason why is that like 70s on 7 is really like a pop station, so there's like a lot of disco. Like Dancing Queen was in the top 10. Wow. So it was kind of like radio play. And Gordon and I both believe that song's overrated anyway.
Yes.
That's not what lists are really about, right?
I know, but it's not like the NEW lists back in the day where it's going to be, you know, Bob O'Reilly, and it's different than that.
Stairway denied is what you're saying.
Stairway denied, exactly.
Was not even on the list, I don't believe. But
I'd put Going to California number one, wouldn't think twice about it.
There's a lot of it. But anyway, number 10 was We Will Rock You / We Are the Champions from Queen, and number one was Bohemian Rhapsody from Queen.
Okay. I got no. I mean, it's hard to have a fight with Bohemian Rhapsody,
but the time is limited, so let's get into this.
All right, guys, it's time for Last One Standing, and today's Last One Standing. The way we're going to do it, the only option you have for help today, Gordon, will be one Ask RJ. You have one Ask RJ at your disposal, and I will tell you, RJ is very good, so it's useful to invoke his help.
So why don't we do this, Peter? Just
that's
moving
good,
forward,
because I don't have any friends to phone. So
right,
just
for
well.
Sure.
So why don't we do this, if you're cool with this, for the rest of the week, since I'm going to have somebody different every day, that Ask RJ is the only lifeline, like, all week. Like, each contestant will have an Ask RJ.
That's what I just said.
But I mean every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every day. I'm not letting Gordon use the one for the whole week.
I'm burning it. I'll tell you right now. Screw all the other four people.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
But, Don, first? You still only have one Ask RJ and one phone-a-friend for the week.
Oh, I see.
So they get the advantage. Let's start off, Don. We'll start off with you. We'll give him the advantage to end things early. So we will give Don the first opportunity in Last One Standing. All right, Don.
Yes.
You ready to play?
Sure.
Okay. In 1994.
Okay.
The Dolphins beat the Jets when Dan Marino fake spiked and then threw a game-winning touchdown pass to this former Giant receiver.
Former Giant receiver?
Mm-hmm.
God, I don't even remember. I remember the
Can
play.
Can I steal this?
Hold on. Hold on, Gordon. Calm down.
Was it Mark Ingram?
Final answer?
Yeah. Trying to think of former Giants.
Wow, you got it, Don. Yeah. My God.
Thought the buzzer went off. Just going to point that out. But
no, we're a little flexible here on Last One Standing.
come on. It's just
no,
there's got
to
be.
I'm just trying to stir up trouble.
All right. Here we go, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
John Calipari. Cal, if you will. I go Ari. I'm not an Ari guy. Coach Calipari has been head coach for three different colleges during his career. Can you name all three?
Of course you can.
Okay, UMass.
Sure.
Memphis.
Sure.
And Kentucky.
Sure.
Beautiful job by you.
That's a College of Jays. Would you have accepted that?
What do you say?
And that's a College of Jays.
That's a good point. All right.
Good job. UMass is the one people sometimes forget.
Well, that's how it all started. That's how we know this man.
That's right.
Okay. The hardest thing about hosting this show, honestly, is deciding the level of difficulty. It's sometimes really hard to know what you're going to think is really easy or really difficult.
But those were traditionally not good first questions.
What do you mean?
Because they were like harder than
I don't think the Calipari one was hard.
Oh, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that they were like easy.
Be careful. You'll get tabbed as having bad opinions, Don.
That's a great point. I do that quickly.
And get muted on Twitter.
Right away.
In Game 5 of the 2001 World Series.
Sure.
Scott Brosius homered in the ninth to tie it. Then this player hit a walk-off single in the 12th to give the Yankees the win.
Did you think of the homers? You think of Derek's homer and Scott Brosius. Who was it that got the hit? Was it Martinez? You know what? I don't want to take the chance. I'll ask RJ. I thought it was Tino Martinez.
You're going to go to a real Yankees fan in RJ Santilli.
You know what? I got no problem. I don't want to lose because I know that Gordon's a Yankee fan and he'll steal it.
I can steal this one?
Well, yeah, not yet.
Not
anymore.
Later. Okay.
This was, I believe, Soriano.
Okay.
I believe.
You don't sound confident, but
I feel pretty good about it.
All right. Then that's what I'll do. Alfonso Soriano.
Final answer?
Final answer, yes.
Don gets it and continues on.
I knew Gordon would have it.
I knew that one. I know two of yours now. All right. Don't ask me anything about the third hour of The Irishman because I kind of zoned out.
All right, Gordon. In the history of the NHL, only two players have accumulated 40 points or more over the course of a single postseason. Can you name those two players?
Two players, 40 points over...
Each had at least 40 points during the playoffs.
During the playoffs.
Right.
Well, even if I was going to burn it for the rest of the week, I would use it right now, and I have no idea if he has any hockey knowledge at all. But
he can also just be a helpful voice to reason through.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can talk it out with him.
I would say I'm going to ask RJ on this one.
So we are going to take the latter of the talking method, because I don't have an actual answer.
Of course you
okay.
don't.
Okay, all right.
Are we in unison that we're at least going to put Wayne Gretzky out there as one?
Yeah, I would have to think, right? 40 points is not 40 goals. So, you know, the fact that you can take away all his goals and he's still the all-time leading points guy.
I mean, Messier played in a lot of postseasons. Super Mario. Patrick Kane has oddly had a lot of red-hot postseasons,
I feel like. This is going to be one obvious answer and one not obvious answer. So I think Gretzky will be the one that I will say...
If it's not Gretzky for one of them, then we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm in trouble anyway. Do you have one that you... Are you a big hockey fan at all?
I'm a hockey fan. I don't have a default name to give you I know is correct. My first instinct would be somebody that played with Gretzky or someone... I don't know why Patrick Kane's name keeps coming to mind, but I would not base anything on that.
Right. This is a scary
situation.
Got to
be somebody, you know, Gretzky had a lot of long playoff runs. How about it? We feel about Lemieux because he won several cups as well, right?
It's hard to go wrong with that name.
Yeah. It's probably way too obvious an answer, but I guess I will go with Gretzky and Lemieux.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you see the brilliance of the RJ conversation because you are correct. Wayne Gretzky three times, Mario Lemieux one time.
Whew!
Nice. That was
dodged a bullet there. Fun. Oh my God! I was like Will Ferrell in Old School when he comes up with that answer. I got nothing left.
But you blacked out.
Blacked out.
That was very, very impressive.
Okay.
All right, Don. The Rangers won Game 7 of the 1994 Stanley Cup by the score 3-2.
Yes.
They had three different goal scorers that night.
Against,
can you name
Game 7 against the Canucks?
Can you name those goal scorers?
Well, it's Leach, Messier, and now that's when I blank. Definitely Leach, definitely Messier. God, Zuboff, could be Graves. I'll go Zuboff.
Brian Leach, Mark Messier.
Right.
And Adam Graves.
That's all. I picked, well, it was one of the two, and I picked the wrong one.
Now, I'll tell you, Don.
I was not going to steal that one anyway.
No, you were not. So, are you ready for an opportunity to knock off Don LaGreca?
I don't know if I have anything left. What happens if I get this wrong? Do
we
go
keep
to
going.
Sudden death?
We keep going.
Keep going. All right. All right.
In the 2012 NFC Championship game, that's the 2011 season to you and me, this 49er fumbled once in the fourth quarter and then again in overtime en route to the Giants' 2017 win.
Oh, man. I can see the guy, too. Oh, God. He was a receiver. He was a punt returner. Oh, man. My time up?
Was it go ahead. Off? Yep. Throw me something.
I can't think of the guy's name. Don't have an answer.
Don, do you want to steal this question or get a new one?
I don't think I can steal because it's not right. Well, was it Kevin Williams?
No, you're close. It was Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams.
And it was Williams. I just remember it was Kevin. Would you have accepted that as the right answer if I just said Williams? Final answer?
Well, here's what we're going to have to do because we are running low on time and we have a lot of stuff here. No. We're going to end it right here with one who am I.
Good. You know how to do this, right, Gordon?
Not really, but
he's going to give clues, and then the first one to shout it out wins.
Okay. Now, Don,
we did three guesses.
Three guesses, okay? Right. But you can shout it out anytime.
Anytime, okay.
Anytime. You ready?
Go. Yes.
I think I'm ready.
All right. I am a two-time NBA Finals MVP. I am a two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
I was this year's All-Star Game MVP. The Associated Press named me their Athlete of the Year for 2019.
Kevin Durant?
I once hit a game-winning buzzer beater in a Game 7.
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
Gordon Damer gets the win thanks to Don eating his own words in a drop that will live forever. You knew the answer.
Yeah, I knew the answer.
I think you combined Kawhi and Kyrie and then just added a glove on top of it. And I think that was enough to feed Gordon the answer.
Because I got it.
Knew.
I had it. So it's a win. It's a loss, but a win for me because I usually struggle with those. But good job, Gordon.
Thank you. I'll take wins any way I can get them.
Gordon Damer, 5 a.m. Monday through Friday.
I'm going to bed now. See you guys.
Good night.
Buddy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
We bring in a man who you can hear bright and early every single day right here on 98.7. And he's also famous for his hot take tweets and horrifying movie taste. And that would be Gordon Damé.
I'm not saying I don't have horrible opinions, but which one of my horrible opinions would you have even seen?
The one that got my attention at first was The Irishman.
I'll die on that hill, friend.
You're dying. There will be other people on that hill with you.
Oh, it'll be crowded.
And you deserve each other.
We will not be able to social distance.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I once hit a game-winning buzzer beater in a Game 7.
Kawhi
Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Horrifying. Horrifying.
Oh, what a moment.
I don't think Gordon would have gotten it if I didn't... screw it up. I was just I wanted to get it out so fast and I messed it up. But I still feel like I got it right. So.
You know what? I think if you had to do it again, you say the same thing.
No, I would have said it right. I just wouldn't have rushed it because as it turned out, Gordon wasn't about to say it. I figured that was the light bulb for both of us, right? Because I don't watch the NBA All Star game and I didn't follow who was the Player of the Year. But then it started to come to me when you said about hitting the shot. So. I tried to rush it thinking he was about to get it, but considering he didn't yell it out until I messed it up, that I probably could have been
you
a
gave
little
it to
more
him.
Deliberate.
Yeah.
We opened the show with, I don't think it's that surprising. You hear 10 years and you think, wow, that's like a long time for an NFL contract, but why not? He's still young. He's still the best player in the league. Patrick Mahomes gets a 10-year contract extension from the Kansas City Chiefs, and they lock down their guy. And he's probably right now the best player in the NFL, coming off a Super Bowl MVP. And there's every reason to believe that he is going to be at the top of his game for a long time. Lock it down. If anything, kind of reading some of the tweets from people around the league, Peter, that like, why would he sign a 10-year contract? Like, why wouldn't he sign something a little less that so that he can maybe test the free agency? Because I think at this point, that might be the last contract he ever signs, right? Because how old is he now?
What, 26?
You know, so listen, I 25? Guess
25.
Hold on, let me get this official. But you know, he's 24 years old. So
wow.
Yeah, so I guess he could still, you know, at 34, going to be 35 years old, get another contract. But you know, you don't know where you're going to be in your mid 30s at this point. I mean, Tom Brady's kind of the aberration, right? You're starting to see. You know, well, Drew Brees is already 40, but you've seen Aaron Rodgers in his mid-30s take the dip. You know, certainly Eli Manning did not age well as he got deeper into his 30s. So certainly somebody whose game, I don't want to say is completely predicated on his mobility, because I think he's a terrific player all around, but I don't know if he's going to be quite the same player. Get the security. And he likes being in Kansas City, and it's a good team.
I mean, it's $400 million, so there's... I'd stay for 400 mil.
Listen, you're comfortable, and I like the, you know, that's where he wants to be.
Do we know the guaranteed money yet?
I don't know. I'm sure Let's Adam see. Schefter will be the first to have that. He usually is.
The injury guarantee in the contract is up to $140 million.
Well, that's it. That's generational wealth, right? That's locked down.
The Chiefs, so the deal is a 10-year contract worth $450. And the injury guarantee is up to is 140. So yeah, you know that you're good for 140 mil worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think
that'll work. That'll play.
Good for him. I mean, and he is that when you talk about the next generation quarterbacks, because you know Breeze is probably in his last year. Aaron Rodgers has seen his better days. I think Tom Brady has seen his better days. I think the jury is still out on Dak Prescott. Russell Wilson, I think he's surprised some people with how he's played recently, but I think his best days are behind him as well. Is he in his prime now? He's probably in that conversation, is still an outstanding and one of the best quarterbacks, but how many years can he do that for? So let's put Russell Wilson aside because he's not of the guys that I just mentioned because those guys are clearly on the downside. I don't think Russell Wilson is.
Yeah,
he's
no.
But if you look at the, you know, the curve, he might be on the right side of it, though, right? I mean, he's been in the league a while now. So, and then we're waiting for the drafts recently, the Allens and the Darnolds to start coming together. But this is the best quarterback in the NFL. Right? I'm not missing anybody. Well, I mean, you got Watson, but I think he's better than Jackson or Watson right now, right?
To me, based on what he's proved now for a few years, he is in a tier by himself. He's now your tier 1A, like your absolute highest level quarterback. And then you go down one notch and you get to your Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, at his best, Carson Wentz. Right. You know, that conversation starts to happen. But right. I think Mahomes lives by himself right now.
Yeah, he does. And so what do you do when you have the best quarterback in the game? You lock him down.
You see these other teams having so much problem with the quarterback position. How would you not want it?
And this is what we opened the show with. Again, when you talk about the NFL, and this ended up being McCagnan's mistake with Jamal Adams. When you draft a safety at 6, you have to ask yourself, what do we expect this player to be? And if you draft him at 6, you're saying we expect him to be one of, if not the best safeties in football. What are we going to pay him? And if you're not going to pay him as one of the top safeties, or you're not going to pay him as one of the best defensive players in the league, then don't draft him. Because this is the salary cap we're talking about here. The idea is I have to lock down my quarterback. That's what you have to do. You can't afford to be looking for a quarterback. We've seen teams looking for quarterbacks. They all stink. Right, Peter? That's the one area you can't address as we'll get to a quarterback. The teams that think we'll get to a quarterback are the teams that don't win. The days of the Brad Johnsons and the Trent Dilfers are over.
Feels that way.
You need a very good to a franchise quarterback. So when the Jets selected Sam Darnold at 3, what they are expecting, otherwise why did you take him, is that we are going to have a forever quarterback. That's what you pay a forever quarterback. And then there's no question about paying that forever quarterback. Now, if you get a Dak Prescott, if you get a Tony Romo, you get somebody that is drafted later, well, your expectations weren't high on that player to begin with. But when you draft a player 3rd overall, your expectation is going to be at some point, we are going to give this guy a massive contract. Otherwise, we failed with the pick.
Not only that, he's a guy you drafted high, and then shipped off a perfectly good, competent quarterback to make room for him to start.
Right.
Everything was set for this to be Patrick Mahomes' team. He has been an MVP and a Super Bowl champion. No one in the world could argue they deserve the money and have done more to earn it than Mahomes has in his young career.
Right. So why even waste any time and just do it? And this is the problem that the Jets are having, and I'm not forcing this as a local conversation. I think it's obvious in the example that when you give Jamal Adams what he wants, when those people out there who say he's the best, you got to keep him. We haven't had a lot of stars on this team. Give him the $20 million. When you do that, and then when Sam Darnold becomes the forever player you anticipated to become when you drafted him 3, is there going to be any money left for him? Look at the Cowboys. They gave Ezekiel Elliott the contract, and now is there money for Prescott? They want to pay Prescott, but can they, when you've got Cooper and you've got guys on the defensive side of the ball that you had to address and you gave money to, now there's only so much money to go around. Can you really afford, Peter, to go into a season trying to find money for your quarterback? No, I'll go find another safety. He may not be as good as Jamal Adams, but I'll find another safety. And guess what? When he's not as good as Jamal Adams, I'll get him cheaper. And hopefully we can make it work. I've got a good defensive coordinator in Greg Williams. We can hopefully make it work. You can't make it work with an average quarterback. You can't. Whenever we have this conversation, well, what about Trent Dilfer? What about Brad Johnson? Those are aberrations. The teams that consistently win, the teams that are in the playoff conversation every single year, are the teams that have the quarterback. And when they don't have the quarterback, they got to piecemeal it like Tennessee did. Tennessee going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon?
No, they can make the playoffs. You can make you think they're going to go, and then you're like, oh, yeah, we can't just rely on Derrick Henry to get all the way there.
Right. Because at some point, your quarterback's going to have to make a play. And Tennessee couldn't get over the hump because their quarterback couldn't make a play. And guess what? In the Super Bowl, Garoppolo couldn't make a play. Guess who did?
Patrick Mahomes.
And guess who got paid? So there are always exceptions to the rule. There'll be some team that ends up winning a championship one day with an average quarterback. Good for them. But the plan's going to be when you get this generational talent, Peter, you don't mess around. Now, what happens is, don't be surprised if over the next couple of years, some really good talented players on the Chiefs are going to leave. We saw it in Baltimore. We saw it in Seattle. Those teams won Super Bowls with their quarterbacks on rookie deals, and then they had to give the extension to Flacco. They had to give the extension to Wilson, and they started losing some really good players.
But what options do you have?
But then what does Seattle do? You got a good coach. You got a good organization. They spackled the defensive side. You get a great year from Russell Wilson, and guess what? You're in the playoffs, and everybody thinks you're dead.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately for Baltimore, Joe Flacco didn't live up to expectations, and then Baltimore fell on their face. Until when? When exactly did Baltimore come back, Peter? When? When they got a quarterback.
Oh, now that's an interesting one, too, based on where they picked him. But now they have their guy.
Right.
Because they didn't know. I mean, it's a first-round pick, but barely a first-round pick.
Right, but sometimes you get lucky. Listen, Dan Marino was selected very low in the first round, right? Joe Montana was drafted in the third round, all right? Now, it's a little bit different because at least those teams can play the wait-and-see attitude with their quarterbacks and then maybe be surprised when they're great. Hey, we didn't think he was going to be this great. Otherwise, you know, we would have traded up to get him. We would have drafted him in the first round. But they eventually get paid. Russell Wilson, the same thing, right? Third-round pick for Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
So those guys, a little bit different story. But when you're the Jets and you take a quarterback at number three, even before he becomes great, you have to assume he's going to become great because he was taken third overall. Now, it's a different general manager, but every indication is that Gase and Douglas are in love with Sam Darnold. So it might as well have been their pick. 1-800-919-3776. That's on the table. Redskins' name change is on the table, and I've already seen it on Twitter. Oh, we're going to spend a half hour talking about politics. It's not politics. Say what you want about the Redskins. They are a major team in a major sport that might change their name, okay? So I'm not trying to be political.
Oh, I would argue it's as big a story in terms of we're spending so much time talking about about statues and all these different things. I would argue that a team name, an NFL team name being changed, to me, is bigger than almost any statue that could come down. Maybe not any. Okay, I'm not talking about the Jefferson Memorial. But this is a really big deal. And furthermore, Don, if anyone has looked at the front page of ESPN.com, seen what stories are out there today, and think we're being political again, I think you'd be missing what's going on.
No, it's going to happen, and it hasn't happened. The last time we've seen a name change because of criticism, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, was the Bullets changing to the Wizards. What was that, 20 years ago?
More now, I think. 25?
And then the Houston Colt 45, when they came into the league, I believe 2 years 22? In, they became the Astros.
What year are the Wizards? 99?
Doesn't happen very often. And no offense to the Washington Bullets or the Houston Colt 45. They're not the Redskins.
No.
Okay, they're not. We're talking about an NFL team that, although I did, you know, criticize them pre-Joe Gibbs as being like an historic franchise, it's still a franchise that's had this name since the early 30s. They're a significant organization, a popular one that has kind of fallen out of favor because they've been so bad in recent years. But, you know, the Redskins are a very popular team, a significant team.
Poland announced the change of the Wizards to Bullets in 95. 25 years.
Yeah, so that doesn't happen very often, Peter. I can only think of two times that a name has been changed in professional sports based on this kind of controversy. We've seen it in college. We've seen it with the St. John's went from from the Redmen to the Red Storm. Similar situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, God, how long ago? That might be 20 years ago.
That's already 20 years. And yeah, close to it. And to the point J.P. Finley made to us earlier about how difficult it is to make a name change like this and how much goes into it. The Wizards announcement, the Bullets, A. Poland announces the change in 95. Don, they don't change the name until the 97-98 season.
No, because
they had a full contest. It's a whole thing to change the arena and do so much work. So I really do think we could be looking at a Washington Football Club next year or something like that.
And again, JP made that point, and I know it's a lot of heavy liftings, a lot of things that I have to change, a lot. You have no idea that logo and that name, its attachment to so many different things and how many things have to get changed from the logo when you put the game on DirecTV. Like, everything has to change, and that's going to take a lot of time, and it's hard to just incorporate a new logo and a name so quickly when we're 9 weeks away. JP made a great point. We're 9 weeks away, if everything goes well with COVID-19, of kicking off the NFL season here. But they're probably going to have to bite the bullet and take a full year of just
being... Bite the wizard, Don.
I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable with that either. of a year of just being like a generic, no-logo team. But think of the windfall the following year when they break in a new logo. And change the logo and the name and the T-shirts and the jersey sales. They will make all that money back and then some. Because, you know, when teams make changes like that, there's always a windfall. That's why you have third jerseys. That's why teams change their jersey colors, because they want to make that windfall. They'll get it with a – every Redskin fan's going to go out and get the new stuff. And if they do it right and make it look great, which in this day and age is, I think, an easy thing to do, they'll make that money back. And you know what? So what? They get a year of looking generic. Too tough. If you did the right thing years ago, this wouldn't be an issue. If you made the announcement 2 years ago that in 2021 we're going to change our logo, you could have all the time in the world. But you know what? That luxury's gone because their owner was stubborn. And I had a buddy, good friend of mine, text me. He's like, why is this Snyder's problem? He didn't name the team, but he took ownership of the naming of the team by being so stubborn and saying he would never change the
That's
name.
That's right.
So even though he didn't name the Redskins, it became his problem because he took ownership of that name. Not literally, but figuratively, in the sense that he said it'll never come down. Despite all of the controversy, he was defiant, stubborn about it. So this has become his problem.
Oh, he begged for it to happen. This whole thing was actually relatively in a quiet phase when he said, and you can put this in all caps, I'll never change the name. That was it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle in Manhattan. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry about my throat right now, but I'm actually just at the tail end of a quarantine for COVID-19. But I'm in good spirits and good health. Yeah, I'm doing better. I should be hopefully in work, and I've been able to work from home. I am an asthmatic, so I've been feeling those types of symptoms. The point I wanted to bring up is, Peter, I went to school in Washington, D.C. I'm from the Tri-State area, but I went to school in Washington, D.C. And one thing that I, as a New Yorker, was completely oblivious to was that in D.C., which is a majority black city, there are so many, as much as up to 50% Cowboy fans.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because they're rivals. You know, everyone always says the NFC East is the one where there's, you know, that catchphrase, no love lost, because everyone hates each other. Well, they went out and became Cowboy fans. And I was so confused at first, but then I found the Redskins were the last team to integrate in the NFL.
Yep.
So this has been an organization that is, I'm not saying that it's, you know, all calculated evil, but it has been practicing, you know, somewhat questionary practices for quite a long time.
You're 100% right, and I hope you continue to get better. But
thank you, guys. Can I just say something quick about the
show?
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's a good corny and that famous drop, but guys, you guys have something special. It really puts a pep in my step. around 3 o'clock. I'm still working, so if I got nothing, I'll listen to the whole show. But I best believe I get on at 6 o'clock when ENN gets on, no matter what.
Thank you.
Well,
man.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
And Kyle, you make a great point. I mean, the team between George Marshall and the early days of this team integrating 15 years after Jackie Robinson integrates baseball. George Preston Marshall was a known racist till the day he died. It was not just like some sort of happenstance. There was a real history to racial problems on this team. And of course, it is weird and ironic being in D.C., a place that's commonly referred to as Chocolate City, the most densely black populated city in the country. And, you know, Don, I think that's why there are so many Cowboys fans. A lot of people were putting up a middle finger to the team in Washington. And the things changed for the Skins, honestly, I think in a big way, when, of course, then in 1987, Doug Williams becomes the first black quarterback to lead a team to a Super Bowl. See, so it's a confusing relationship, but I believe that this step could do more. And here's what would make Snyder so dumb. I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm sure you are. Mayor Bowser in D.C. has really made clear you're not coming back to Washington with that name.
Right.
So, like, to not only do you want to change the name so you can get back to Washington, not only do you want to not offend indigenous peoples who are offended by the name, and not only do you want to just change the karma of a team that's been a disaster for two decades, but don't you want to make money? Like, I just feel like, Don, he'd be cutting off his nose to spite his face to fight this.
Right. But I agree with everything that you're saying. The only thing is there's a bunch of Cowboy fans in D.C. The same reason there's a bunch of Cowboy fans in New York. When the local team stinks and the Cowboys are winning all those championships, and listen, the Redskins were not very good, you know, in the 70s, except for that one, you know, run to the Super Bowl. You know, Cowboy fans are going to creep up. That's just the way that it is around the country.
But I've lived in, after living here now for 13 years, and I've definitely observed the level of Cowboy fans that are here, and it's definitely second place behind the two New York teams. It's not DC's. It's a different level. Like in DC, when you meet a black dude who likes football, or black woman, if you meet a black person in DC who's into football, in your mind, mentally, you're going, "Oh, I wonder if you're a Cowboys fan or a Redskins fan." It's that split, and it is usually on racial lines. I'm not saying there are no white Cowboys fans there, but there was a big middle finger to the racist history that was associated with that
team.
When
did they integrate?
What year was Rob? 15 years. 15 years after Jackie Robinson's first game.
Yeah, so 61.
Yep.
61, 62. 46,
yeah.
But you can get up from it. The Yankees didn't integrate till 55. You know, but you can get up from Red Sox. They had an awful history as well. You can get up from it if you do the right things, and they didn't do a lot of the right things. And I don't want to say that Doug Williams was an accident per se, but they kind of got lucky in the sense that I don't know if that was necessarily the game plan for him to be, you know, the starting quarterback and all that, you know. But you can get up from it if you do the right things, and they haven't
also
done a lot
winning.
Of right
Don,
things,
as you always point out,
right.
Winning helps a lot.
Oh,
and
course.
There wasn't a whole lot of winning pre Joe Gibbs. You know, we talked about the run in the 70s. There was some winning. But really, when you get to that team that's made up of Joe Gibbs, Art Monk, Daryl Green, and then eventually Doug Williams, and John Riggins, of course, a big part of that, and Joe Theismann, that's when they became really – I mean, Don, I can't even tell you what that team meant during my childhood. I mean, there was no second place in sports.
That was a big, big deal. And I take it back. They did, you know, go to the playoffs fairly routinely in the 70s. I don't want to make it seem like they were awful like the Jets and the Giants were in the 70s when the kind of Cowboys took over. But they weren't winning any championships the way, you know, the Cowboys were competing in the Super Bowl. And listen, the Cowboys – I had a conversation with Tiki Barber. He's like, why are there so many Cowboys fans? And I said, because they were just – they were like a national team. They were consistent. They had stars. And they're playing on Monday Night Football all the time and in a lot of the major cities. Like – you know, the Bears weren't very good, you know, through the 70s, and the Giants weren't very good. So you look at some of the major cities, You know, nobody wants to root for a loser. Not everybody's a diehard fan. So, this Cowboy team seems to be consistently in the playoffs all the time. Plus, they had a little bit of an underdog in them, too, because they didn't always win the Super Bowl. You know, they had trouble getting, beating the Steelers, losing to them back-to-back times. So, it didn't look like a complete bandwagon jump. So, the Cowboys, they have fans everywhere. It's kind of crazy. Let's go to Austin in Buffalo. You're on ESPN New York.
Hey, guys. Hope you're staying healthy and being safe.
You too, bud.
You too, man.
All right, so I got no problem with the money for Mahomes because he deserves it. He's going to be worth it every penny. But I am a little surprised, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, in this climate, that a team is forking over, you know, that kind of guaranteed money or even money with the incentives, because I hope COVID's away next year, but none of us really know, do we? So with revenue potentially going down, ticket sales going down – I'm just surprised by it.
Well, the football makes a lot of money, but you make a great point that there could be an effect. But we had Mike Tannenbaum on, and he believes that the cap will not be affected this year. And you have to think, Peter, right, that if COVID is going to have a financial impact on something, it would be now. And he doesn't think the cap's going to move at all. And then eventually fans will come in, but I think football's ratings are going to be very good. We'll see. You make a good point, because sometimes you don't realize the financial effect until way down the road. But football does feel like it's somewhat immune to a lot of the other issues that other sports go through, because it's not necessarily a sport that needs the fans as much, because their television contract is so lucrative. They've got the ability to move the season around. I mean, Peter, theoretically, if there's an outbreak, if there's a second wave, the NFL could say, all right, well, listen, we'll start the season on Thanksgiving. We'll start the season on New Year's Day. Anything the NFL does, people are going to follow. They don't have to worry about weather. It doesn't matter when the Super Bowl is played. The Super Bowl could be on May 7th instead of February 7th. It doesn't matter.
It's so true.
And that's a luxury the NFL has. Matter of fact, I think it could be an option for the NFL. It looks like they're going to cancel the entire preseason. So if they do that, they could just turn around and move the season. Delay it a month. Delay it 2 months. Is college football going to get played at any kind of level? So it wouldn't affect the draft. I mean, the college football could do the same thing. They can move their fall sports into the following spring.
And by the way, yeah, I don't think college sports can end up happening. And so that means even right. more so, and if the NFL could do anything at once.
And the NFL holds their draft in April, late April. They don't hold their draft right after the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's played on first week of February, and they have the draft the last week of April. Sometimes the first week of May back in the day. So they could keep the draft. They can have the draft the day after the Super Bowl if they wanted to, if they played the Super Bowl in May. So I think the prognosticators are probably looking at the NFL as the one sport that can survive all this. They've got billionaire owners. Yeah, they'll be affected in their pocket, but not nearly as much as the other sports, because I think the television revenue is going to be not as affected. And as you heard Mike Tannenbaum say, in a year where you would think that this upcoming salary cap could be affected greatly by COVID-19 and no fans, he doesn't think the cap is going to move at all. And by the following season, for 2021, you know, the hope is that fans will get back and we'll see some sort of normalcy.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.